Hare Krishna. We were explaining just a few days back how Lord Brahma the father and creator of everyone and everything within our particular universe is seeing the infinite value of every dust particle of Sri Vrindavan Dham. During the Brahma Vimohan Lila, where he wanted to exhibit his power, a power that no one in this world has. Krishna and his friends, the gopas, were sitting on the bank of Yamuna, taking prasad. It is described how there was countless gopas in concentric circles surrounding Krishna. And each gopa was experiencing that Krishna is only looking at me. And they would take a bite out of some prasad, and it was so good. Their mothers cooked it. And it was so nice, they wanted to share it with Krishna. Krishna, this samosa is excellent. Please have, try it. And Krishna would take it. Then Krishna would take a bite out of something and share it with his friends. And then another friend would take a bite out of a laddu and say, Krishna, very nice laddu, please have. Krishna's Yajna Bhog. That means he's the Supreme Lord, Narayan, who receives all the sacrifices and offerings of all the devas, of all the Brahmins and sages and rishis everywhere. And that these simple cowherd boys, they're not Brahmins. They're not living like great sages. They're not chanting Vedic hymns. They're not even saying any mantras when they're offering to Krishna. They're taking the food right out of their mouths and Krishna's eating. And he's happier taking the remnants of the cowherd boys than he is with elaborate offerings made by demigods and kings. That is Vrindavan, because it is offered with the intimacy of such love. We cannot imitate. First of all, it is important that we understand the supremely exalted position. Brahma was thinking, he's taking the food from the mouths of his friends. Who is this? Let me see. So he exhibited some of his powers. He allured the little calves, because this is when Krishna and Balaram were taking care of calves. And that day, Balaram was not there. It happened to be his appearance day. Now, if you read in the scriptures what Krishna and Balaram did on their appearance days, they would spend the whole day giving in charity. Because the greatest gift we can receive is blessings of great souls. And those blessings come when we serve. When we serve with a desire to please great personalities, their blessings spontaneously pour out to purify us. Rohini, Devi, Yashoda Mai, that is how they would celebrate their children's birthdays, giving them blessings, engaging them in services. So Brahma, he allured the little calves with very nice grasses. And when the gopas were thinking, where is Krishna? I mean, where is the calves? Krishna said, you all stay and enjoy your prasad. I will find them. And he looked in all directions. He went to the hills, he went to the valleys, he went to the forests. Eventually, he came back to the Yamuna, and all the gopas were gone. Brahma, countless calves, countless gopas, he kidnapped all of them and put them into a sleep and hid them. So when it was, Krishna knew it was time for everyone to return, and the mother cows were waiting for their calves eagerly, and all the mothers of the gopas. So he expanded himself in identical form of every calf and every cowherd boy. And he came home. Just like every other day, he was playing his flute and dancing, and the calves were dancing, and the boys were singing. And each went to their mothers, and the calves drank from the cows, and each boy was bathed by their mothers and fed by their mothers. And 1 year passed, and not a single cow or father or mother or brother had the slightest thought that this is not my child. Krishna, so meticulous. The memories of every child, the exact bodily features, the tone of their voices, their desires, their wishes, everything was identical. There was only one difference. All the cows and mothers and fathers and brothers, they just never loved their loved ones so much. They actually loved them as much as Krishna. Because everyone in Vrindavan loved Krishna more dear than their lives, more dear than their own loved ones. Parikshit Maharaj was astounded. He asked Sukadeva Goswami, how could anyone love someone else's son more than their own children? And Sukadeva Goswami said, Krishna is the life of all lives. He's the origin of the Paramatma. Whatever we love about anyone is only because they're infinitesimally manifesting a part of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme, ultimate object of everyone's love. He's the origin. After a year, when Lord Brahma came to see what was the condition of chaos within Vrindavan, he saw everything exactly the same. There was Krishna. It was Balaram's birthday again. He wasn't there. He was with all his friends, and there was all the calves. And Brahma went to where he hid them, and they were still there. And then he went back to Vrindavan, and he saw that they were here. And he went back, and he saw, and then he came, but they're here. To bewilder Lord Brahma, he was thinking, when I'm coming here, is Krishna taking them and then bringing them back? Or what's happening to me? He was completely bewildered. He forgot who he even was. He was so bewildered. And then every calf and every cowherd boy manifested a form of Narayan with four arms. And around each and every one of them were all the demigods and all the sages and all the rishis offering prayers. And they were limitless. And Brahma stood completely speechless. And suddenly, everything disappeared. And there was just Krishna with a little lump of food in his hand, some yogurt and rice and fruit. And he was innocently looking for the calves and the boys like he was a year before. And suddenly, Lord Brahma, because he humbled himself completely, all of his ego, and he's a Paramahamsa, great devotee, but still, in his role as the creator of the universe and the guna avatar of the Rajaguna, very powerful position in Brahma Loka. Whenever the demigods and the sages and rishis want an incarnation to come, they approach Brahma to pray on their behalf. That is his position. But when he completely surrendered to the intimacy and the sweetness of Krishna, he realized that Krishna's not even taking the role of God like Narayan. He's just a little cowherd boy looking for his friends. Lord Brahma realized this is the ultimate realization of the absolute truth, because it's the absolute revelation of love, of prema, that Krishna is sharing with his friends. He totally humbled himself. He surrendered his heart. He realized, I know nothing. Krishna, I'm yours. At that moment, Krishna revealed Vrindavan to him. He was already seeing Vrindavan. But he wasn't seeing the inner beauty of Vrindavan. Because we can't really see Vrindavan with these eyes made out of earth, water, fire, air, and ether, filtered through the mind, intelligence, and the ego. We can only see Vrindavan when Sri Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna reveal their eternal home to us. Rimanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. When we see through the eyes of pure love, then we could see Shyam Sundar in his abode and his devotees. So when Brahma surrendered with gratitude to Krishna, then the same thing he was seeing with his eight eyes completely transformed. He was seeing Vrindavan, but suddenly all the trees he was looking at, he realized they're Kalpavriksha trees. He realized the dust on the ground that he had been seeing all along, every grain was more precious than all the jewels and all the wealth in Brahmaloka and in the entire universe, because Chintamani, it could fulfill all our desires. He was seeing each cow and calf as a surabhi, a kamadenu, that can fulfill every spiritual desire of the soul. And now he was seeing that little boy Krishna as the supreme essence and the full completeness of all beauty, charm, and love. He was seeing Vrindavan as it is, by Krishna's grace. So as we're going from place to place in Vrindavan, sometimes you're in traffic jams, sometimes you're on buses, sometimes it's very hot, sometimes very cold, sometimes monkeys are attacking, sometimes hogs are blocking the roads, sometimes people are begging and they just won't leave you alone. And sometimes it looks like there's poverty. And even worse than that for some of us is when we see all these five-star hotels coming up. But don't feel bad. We only live maybe 70, 80, 90 years at the most. Brahma's 311 trillion years. We have two little eyes. He has eight big eyes. Brahmacharis, you're fortunate. You don't have to involve yourself in too many worldly affairs. But for some of us, mothers or fathers, we may have two or three or four, maybe five children. Brahma, everyone is his child. Not only all humans, all species of life are his grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. Such a personality. And yet, he was taking Krishna and Vrindavan for granted until Krishna revealed the vision to him. Tene Brahmahridaya Adhikavye Moyanti Yatsurya. All the Vedas are ultimately coming from Brahma. He's the most learned. But still, until we receive grace, we cannot really see as it is. And Brahma wanted to be, actually he prayed. He prayed, I don't want to be a creator. I just want to be a humble servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And he performed tapasya for that purpose, where he wouldn't be distracted by any fame or prestige. where he could constantly remember the Lord. And Krishna gave him a benediction. You could be Haridas Thakur. You'll be born in an untouchable family where all people practically will look down on you and persecute you and think you're useless. But you'll be so happy and so humble, and you'll be constantly remembering me in ecstatic love as you chant the holy names. We learn to see through the faith that is given to us, through the inspiration, the example, and the words of great personalities, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. It is through the medium of our Gurus, the great Sadhus of the present and past, and the holy scriptures that we learn to see everything. Because the mind and the senses is very much influenced by our own egos and the egos of others. When Jagadananda Pandit wanted to come to Vrindavan, he's a gopi in his original Leela of Krishna, in Madhurya Ras. But in his Sadaka Leela as a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to go to Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya said, you can go, but always remain in the association of Srila Sanatan Goswami. Because if you stay too long, and if you're not really involved in the association of an advanced devotee serving, then you'll take things to be ordinary, and you'll take the people to be ordinary. And then you'll make offenses. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us how we should understand the supremely exalted position of Vrindavan. When we really experience that, then we can genuinely enter into the beautiful pastimes of Vrindavan. So everyone, please be grateful. We're here in the month of Kartik. Yes, the mind wanders here and there. The senses, the health, so many things. That's nice. All those difficulties help us to take shelter. We left off yesterday where we spoke the Leela of Krishna stealing butter. And it is described that when our hearts become very soft and sweet, like fresh butter, Krishna will steal our hearts. Unless Krishna steals our hearts, we cannot understand Krishna. In other words, unless Krishna reveals himself to us, we can't really understand. Everything is dependent on grace. Now, in order for that butter to be. Yashoda Mai and all of these different gopis, they would churn yogurt into butter. Now, what is churning? Our sadhana is that process of churning. And actually, Krishna helps us. Because when you churn yogurt, it's kind of agitating it, isn't it? And it's making separations. So similarly, Krishna, he allows and even facilitates difficulties and hardships to come in our life to help churn our hearts. Because in that state, chanting Krishna's name, praying to Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna is no longer just because we're supposed to or because we want to. It becomes the sole necessity of our life. Nothing else really matters anymore. Lord Chaitanya told Kolavecha Sridhar that Krishna is controlled by devotional service or bhakti. And Krishna is controlled by any devotee who sincerely begs for bhakti. That is something every single one of us can do. Whatever we've done, whatever we have not done, wherever we've been born, whatever situation we have, every single one of us has the power and the opportunity to beg. You see, you don't have to have something to beg. In material world, the qualifications are what you have. But Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they don't consider our qualifications or disqualifications. Because whether you're a king or whether you're living in a cave, you can beg. But you can only beg when you realize you don't have something. You can only beg when you really feel a need. And to really beg, you have to totally humble yourself. If we beg for pure devotional service, Krishna comes under our control. But our begging has to be real. It means we really have to open our heart to receive. Just like sometimes we drive car in Mumbai and beggar knocks on the window like that. It wakes us up like you just did. And they're begging, yes? And we have a rule in Mumbai that everyone in a car must always carry a quantity of prasad, because no beggar should be empty-handed before a devotee. So we give them nice prasad. And some of them are so happy, little children, they just start dancing and eating, and then all the other children come and they're all dancing and eating and so nice. But other times you give them prasad and they throw it back and they say, no, rupees, rupees. So what kind of beggar is that? I'm making up an analogy here. But you see, they're not grateful. They're not willing to receive. So if we're actually beggars and we actually feel a need, then we will receive. If we're begging for bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada says, chant 16 rounds minimum. Follow these principles, read my books, help in this great mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Be the servant of the servant of the servant. Be humble like a blade of grass and tolerant like a tree and being forgiving for offenses that people do to you. Respect and don't demand respect. We're begging for devotional service. And he's giving. If we're really beggars, we'll receive it with our whole heart. Not that we want something else. Because we're being given the key to the spiritual world through the simple lifestyle of Krishna consciousness. But even if we perform all these duties, devotional activities, still, along with that, our frame of mind must be that we're performing our devotion, we're receiving these devotional activities, begging for pure love, begging for pure devotion. Because there's nothing else that really pleases Krishna. And every one of us can do that. It just requires sincerity. And Krishna tells, I am controlled by one who begs for pure devotion. So when the churning comes and the difficulties come, it helps us to understand how far away we are and our great need. So yesterday we were talking the beautiful story. Jashoda Mai was churning the yogurt for Krishna. And ultimately, Krishna stopped her. She put Krishna down to perform another duty. Krishna broke the butter pot. Krishna went to the courtyard and was stealing butter from the rafters of the ceiling, standing on top of a wooden grinding mortar. He was filling his belly with butter. He called his friends and he was giving them all the butter they could eat. And he called the monkeys from the forest and they were scampering into the courtyard of Yashoda Mai and he was giving them as much butter as they could want. And Yashoda Mai came and saw that. Krishna ran away and Yashoda Mai caught him. And ultimately, she bound him around the waist with the rope of her love. And she tied him to the wooden grinding mortar and went back to perform her duties. We discussed it in detail yesterday. Krishna was thinking, now my mother has tied me up. I will perform more mischief than ever. And he looked around, and in the courtyard before him, he saw two massive trees, Arjun trees. When Krishna, just a little child, he cast his glance upon these trees. He was remembering the history of these trees. 100 celestial years before, Narada Muni happened to be walking around the area of Kailash in the heavenly worlds. Kuvera is the treasurer of the demigods. We could imagine how wealthy he is and how powerful he is. Just like in our temples, our ISKCON temples, we know how powerful the treasurer is. Because if you want any money, you have to please the treasurer. Well, he's the treasurer of all the heavenly worlds. So he's very famous and very affluent, and he had two sons, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. And born and raised in such luxury and fame, and they were demigods themselves. Their bodies were beautiful and handsome and youthful and strong and so attractive. Queen Kunti prays there's four great defects to pure devotional service. Beauty, knowledge, fame, high education, high birth. Because they have a tendency to make us proud. When you're proud, then you're envious of people who have more. You're condescending and arrogant of people who have less. And you're fearful and competitive about people who have about the same. It's a very disturbing lifestyle. And because of that, one cannot really feelingly call out Krishna's names unless akin Shina Gochara. One really feels, I have nothing. That's humility. So they were enjoying with beautiful heavenly girls. And they were intoxicated with liquor, heavenly liquor. And they were bathing in a beautiful lake with lotus flowers. And they were singing songs with these ladies and drinking more and more of this heavenly beverage. They were naked, and Narada Muni walked by. And the girls were so ashamed, they got out and covered themselves. But the two demigods didn't care anything. Why should we think about Narada Muni? We are Manigriva and Nala Kuvera. So Narada Muni was very merciful. He saw how intoxicated they were with arrogance. Now, when you have a really strong disease, sometimes you need strong medicine to counteract it. So he blessed them to become trees for 100 celestial years. A tree can't move. A tree can't change its clothes or put on jewels. A tree doesn't have any girlfriends. They just stood there. They couldn't move. But Narada Muni gave them the complete, full consciousness they had before living in the bodies of trees. Can you imagine that? Sometimes, you know, we're in a hospital bed and we're back and we can't move and we just can't wait till we can move. It's so frustrating. Yes? Well, here they are, standing as trees. And after about 100 celestial years, Krishna performed his leelas there. So they really, really got purified. And then they got to see Krishna's pastimes. And Krishna was remembering, Narada Muni blessed them, so they are very special to me. And I must fulfill the wish of Narada Muni to make them pure. That's how important it is to receive the blessings of great souls. If we could be dear to a great personality, Krishna will give us special mercy. Their qualification was simply Narada Muni's mercy. Srila Prabhupada was once asked, what is our qualification? And Srila Prabhupada said, you have no qualification. I gave you your qualification. It was his causeless mercy that opened the doors for us to take to Krishna consciousness and to come to Vrindavan. So to remember that and be grateful is very important. And actually, Manigriva and Nalakuvera realized this. They realized Narada Muni's mercy upon them. So Krishna, acting like an ordinary little boy, crawled. And he happened to crawl right between these two trees as he was dragging the grinding mortar with a rope that his mother bound around his waist. The grinding mortar got stuck between the trees. So Krishna crawled a little more. Massive. Up the trees broke and crashed down to the ground. And in the meanwhile, Manigriva and Nalakuvera, in their demigod forms, came out of the trees and they offered beautiful prayers to Lord Krishna. They surrendered their hearts. They explained their gratitude. They were totally humbled by the mercy of Narada Muni. How being attached and infatuated by too much wealth or too much beauty or too much knowledge or too much fame, we can't really receive the blessings and mercy of others. We can't beg. They begged. They concluded their prayers by begging from Krishna. The only thing we want is to always remember you and always be engaged in pleasing you by serving you with pure devotion. With Krishna's blessing, they were given the highest platform of bhakti and they returned to their abodes. Meanwhile, the crashing of these trees was such a difficult situation. Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men came running to the scene. After Krishna knocked down these trees, the whole earth shook. His cowherd boyfriends, who were about his age, they were all just around him watching. And Krishna was smiling. He was smiling so sweetly at his friends. He just knocked down these trees. And then Nanda Maharaj came running. It was an emergency. These trees have fallen. And then he saw Krishna right in between these trees, just inches on each side of him. And as soon as Krishna was smiling at his friends, but as soon as he saw Nanda Maharaj running from behind, he began to cry. Krishna's Rasa Bihari. He knows how to churn the love in every one of his devotees in a perfect, unique way. So Nanda Maharaj sees Krishna between these two trees that have just fallen and shaken the earth, and Krishna's crying, and Nanda Maharaj unties the rope around Krishna's waist, and he picks up Krishna, and he said, Nanda Maharaj already knew what happened because Yashodamai told him. But still he asked, who is the person who has done this to you? And Krishna had tears in his eyes. He said, my mother did it. Yashodamai, she was repenting. Her heart was completely broken. She tied up Krishna, and now all this has happened. Nanda Maharaj asked the little children, what happened? And the children, the gopas, they said, oh, and they told, Krishna crawled, and the grinding mortar that Yashodamai tied him to got caught between, and he pulled, and these trees fell down. And Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men said, that's impossible. How could Krishna do like this? So Nanda Maharaj took Krishna to the Yamuna River, and together they bathed. And Nanda Maharaj had Brahmins chanting mantras for Krishna's protection. And he himself was praying to Lord Narayan to protect his little child. Then they came home and took their meal together. But Yashodamai would not show her face to either Krishna or Nanda Maharaj. She was so ashamed. She was so repentant that she tied up little baby Krishna, and look what happened. He almost got crushed because of her activities. She felt completely at fault. She was simultaneously ashamed to show her face to Krishna, and she was almost dying of separation from Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj and Balaram and Krishna, they ate their meal of prasad, and then they took rest for some time. And then when evening was coming, they all went to the Goshala at the time of the milking of cows. And Nanda Maharaj, just to please Krishna and Balaram, he brought a special sweetener from the house and added it to the fresh milk of the Sarabi Kamadenu cows and gave to Krishna to drink. Then they returned home. And Rohini, the mother of Balaram, when she saw Krishna, Balaram, and Nanda Maharaj sitting very playfully together, she said, Yashodamai, she has not eaten anything all day. She hasn't spoken a single word to anyone. She's suffering. She's grief-stricken. And Nanda Maharaj, with a very sympathetic tone in his voice, he said to Krishna, will you go to your mother? And Krishna, with tears in his eyes, he said, no, I will stay with you. And some of the gopis were there, the wives of Nanda Maharaj's brothers. And they said, how can you do this to your mother? Whose milk will you drink? And Krishna said, my father will give me fresh milk from the cows with nice sweeteners. And the gopi said, who you will play with? And Krishna said, I will play with my father and my brother Balaram. Nanda Maharaj said, will you not go to your mother, Krishna? And Krishna again, he started to cry. He said, she left me. And when I needed her most, she went away. Rohini said, your mother is suffering. And Krishna cried even more. and he gazed upon his father. And then Rohini, she indicated to Balaram, bring Krishna to his mother. And Balaram approached Krishna, and Krishna jumped on his father and embraced his father to protect him from Balaram. Nand Maharaj, he whispered to Krishna, my beloved son, if your mother is in this condition, and then he became choked up. He said, I don't know what will happen to your mother, indicating that she will die. Immediately, Krishna, tears pouring from his eyes, he cried out, where is my mother? Where is my mother? I will go. And he jumped into the lap of Rohini. Rohini brought her to the room where Yashoda Mai was sitting. And Krishna ran to her, crying out, mother, mother. Yashoda Mai jumped up and ran to Krishna. And Krishna jumped in her arms, and she embraced him. And the two of them incessantly cried with joy. And Krishna was fed the milk from Yashoda Mai. On this day, the gopis gave Krishna the name Damodar, one who is bound by the waist, by the love of his mother. In Damodarastakam, which we will be singing very soon, Satyabrat Muni, the author, he concludes these prayers, I offer my obeisances to that rope, the rope of the love of the devotee that bonds Krishna. And I offer my obeisances to Srimati Radharani, who is the supreme origin of that rope. She is Vrindavaneshwari. Everything in Vrindavan eternally is created simply to facilitate the love of Sri Radha for Krishna. And every living being in Vrindavan for all of eternity experiences ever-increasing ecstatic happiness just to participate in the beautiful love between Krishna and Sri Radha, and Sri Radha and Sri Krishna. And to taste the sweetness of Sri Radha's love and to distribute it to the world, Krishna comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's a similar pastime I'd like to share. When Nimai was just a child, one day a pilgrim Brahmin came to his home. This Brahmin was a very pure devotee. He worshipped Gopal, Krishna. Around his neck, there was a shalagram shila and a small deity of Gopal. And he was constantly remembering Gopal through constantly chanting the six-syllable Gopal mantra. And Jagannath Mishra, when he came to his house as a beggar, Jagannath Mishra could recognize that this is a very pure devotee. So he welcomed him in his house, he washed his feet, he said, where are you from? Where is your home? And the pilgrim said, I don't have a home. I wander wherever my heart takes me. Jagannath Misha said, that is the good fortune of the whole world, that you wander around like this to purify and bless us all. Please cook food. We will prepare the kitchen for you. So he was very happy. So Sachi Devi and the other relatives and neighbors, along with Jagannath Misha, they cleaned the kitchen really nicely and brought nice bhoga, and the Brahmin cooked. And after he cooked, he put his deity of Gopal and Shalagram down, and he offered the bhoga to his beloved Lord. And just as he was offering it, he happened to hear something, and he opened his eyes, and he saw little Nimai with a handful of rice that he just cooked for Gopal in his mouth. He was smiling and eating it. The Brahmin was shocked. This never happened to him before. He cried out, "Hi, hi!" That means alas. This child has spoiled Gopal's offering. He was so emotional. Immediately everybody looked and they saw Nimai eating the rice. Jagannath Misha picked up a stick and charged at Nimai. Nimai got up to run away, and the Brahmin grabbed Jagannath Misha. He said, "No, no, you cannot punish this child. He's so small. He doesn't know right from wrong. You can't teach him a lesson. It's not his fault." And all the relatives were holding back Jagannath Misha. And of course he wouldn't hit the child. He just wanted to scare him and teach him a lesson. They begged the Brahmin, "Cook again. We'll clean everything up, because Gopal's offering is spoiled. Cook again." He said, "I already cooked once. It is not my destiny to eat nice rice and other bhoga. I mean, prasad. Just bring some fruits and roots and I'll be happy." And they begged him and begged him and begged him until he said, "All right, I will cook again." So they cleaned the kitchen, they brought new food. And Jagannath Misha said, "Watch Nimai." So Sachimata picked him up and brought him to a neighbor's house and told the neighboring ladies, "Don't let him come." And they said, "We will not let him come." So the Brahmin was cooking, and the ladies were just passing little Nimai from arm to arm. They were embracing him, and he was putting them in such ecstasy. And they were joking with him. They said, "Why did you steal that Brahmin's food?" And Nimai smiled. He said, "What is my fault? He called for me, and I came. He offered it to me, and I ate it." They said, "You don't even know where this person comes from. You don't know anything about his past. You could lose your caste by eating food from an unknown stranger." And he said, "I'm a gopa. I'm a cowherd boy. How could I lose my caste eating from a Brahmin?" And they were laughing. What is this words that he's speaking? And he was dancing and they were singing, and he mesmerized them to such an extent that just when the offering was being made again, he slipped away and nobody even noticed. And as the Brahmin was making his mantra, he looked up, or he looked down, and there was Nimai with a handful of rice in his mouth, smiling. "Hi, hi! The child spoiled my offering again," and Jagannath Misha picked up his stick and went charging, and Nimai ran really fast into a room. And all the relatives held Jagannath Mishra. He said, I have to teach my son. How could he do these things if I don't teach him? How will he ever learn? And they all begged the Brahmin to cook again. The Brahmin said, it's already too late. I will not cook again. Please, just bring me some fruits and roots. That's what I eat in the jungles. Jagannath Mishra sat with his head in his hands in total grief. Then Vishwaroop entered the room. Nimai's brother, who's an expansion of Lord Balaram, of Nityananda Balaram. When he saw Vishwaroop, the pilgrim was so enchanted. He said, whose son is this? This is Jagannath Mishra's son. And Vishwaroop bowed down to him and said, we are so fortunate. You are such a great sage and you have come to our house to bless us, but we're so unfortunate that you haven't eaten. Please cook again. He said, already 4.5 hours, the Brahmin said, 4.5 hours of the night have already passed. It's too late to cook again. It's not my destiny to eat cooked food. Give me some fruits and roots. Vishwaroop said, don't you see how everyone in the house is suffering? Great sages like you are merciful to everyone. So please cook again and make everyone happy. And then Vishwaroop fell at his feet, held on to those feet of the Brahmin and begged him to cook. And just to please Vishwaroop, he said, all right, I will cook. Jagannath Mishra said, bolt the door in the room that Nimai is in. So everyone was guarding Nimai. They bolted the door. And the lady said, he's fast asleep. There's nothing to worry. Still, guard him. So it's the middle of the night, Brahmin cooked. He chanted the Gopal mantra when it was time for the offering. And little Nimai, he heard his name. Nidra Devi, the goddess of sleep, was called by Nimai. And everyone in the house, except the Brahmin, fell fast asleep. Total quiet. As he was offering the bhoga, he looked down, and there was Nimai sitting right beside the plate, eating mouthful after mouthful of rice. Hi, hi!
Hi, hi!
The child has spoiled my offering. But no one heard him. Nimai smiled. He said, what is my fault? You have called me by my name, and I came to accept the offering. Birth after birth, you are my devotee. And birth after birth, you have called me. And I have come to accept your offerings. You don't remember, but I'll remind you. You were a pilgrim Brahmin long ago, and you came to Gokul, to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And you made an offering just like this, and I came and ate your offering and spoiled your offering just like this at that time. He said, I am that Gopal that you are calling. And suddenly Nimai manifested a beautiful form. And he told the Brahmin, "See." The Brahmin looked at him. His complexion was like a freshly formed monsoon rain cloud. His eyes were like fully bloomed lotus petals. In four arms, he was holding a conch shell, a lotus flower, a club, and a chakra. And then four arms manifested. Two were playing a flute. And the other two, in one hand was the pot of butter, and the other was eating that butter. He had a peacock feather in his hair, a beautiful Kastuba Mani, Vajayanti Mala. And the Brahmin saw, "It is my beloved Gopal." He saw a magnificent Kadamba tree. And behind he saw the flowing of the river Yamuna, the forest of Vrindavan, limitless chirping birds. He saw gopis and gopas and cows. Everything he meditated upon was now manifested before his eyes. In ecstatic love, the pilgrim fell to the ground unconscious. And Nimai, in this beautiful darshan, he touched him with his own hand, and that touch just electrified him with the ecstasy of grace. And Nimai told him, "Do not tell anyone what you have seen as long as I am living within this world. I have incarnated to begin the Sankirtan movement of the congregational chanting of the holy names. Through Harinam Sankirtan, I have come to flood this world with prema bhakti, ecstatic love. And this Sankirtan will spread to every country of the world. In every house, I will spread my love." And then he told the Brahmin that you stay here in Navadvip and you come and see me every day, but don't tell anyone who I am. And then the little boy, or the beautiful form of Krishna, manifested the form of little Nimai, and he went back into the room that was bolted and he went to sleep. This pilgrim was in such ecstasy. He was crying so loudly, with such feeling, with such loving emotion. "Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal." And he was eating the rice. And he was taking the rice and he was smearing it on every limb of his body, and he was eating more and smearing and eating and smearing and dancing all over the house. "Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal." Everyone woke up. And when he heard people coming, he immediately washed his whole body and sat down and was eating nicely. They said, "What happened?" He said, "I am very happy." And Vrindavan Das Thakur tells, anyone who hears this beautiful pastime with faith will get Krishna Prema by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. If we deeply appreciate the Lord's pastimes with a grateful heart, those pastimes, which are none different than Lord Chaitanya, none different than Krishna, transform our hearts and awaken the bhav of love. One day in Gokul, an elderly lady, she had no education, she had no caste. She just would collect fruit from the forest and go village to village to try to sell her fruit. So when she came to Gokul, she cried out, I have fruit, does anyone want to buy? And little Gopal, he was just a child, running around and playing with his friends. He was seeing so many times his mother was bartering grains for other articles. So he filled his little tiny hand with wheat grains. And he went running. And as he was running, because his hand was so small and so soft, the grains were falling from between his fingers and from all the sides. And when he finally came to the fruit vendor, there was only one or two little tiny grains in his hand, and he smiled at her and said, give me fruit, I will buy. His smile was so charming, so beautiful. It melted her heart. She only wanted to please this child. She said, I will put as many fruits as you could carry in your hands. And little Gopal opened his hands and she filled it with fruits. And then he held out his arms and she filled his arms and he smiled at her and ran home. She was so happy. So happy, she just wanted to get more fruits to bring to the child. What happened is because she satisfied Krishna's wishes, her basket was overflowing with the most precious jewels. Emeralds, rubies, diamonds, pearls. She was a billionaire. But she didn't even notice it. She just was eager to get more fruit for Krishna because she saw it made him happy. So she picked up her basket. She didn't notice the weight. She ran back to the forest, ran back to her little hut, went to gather more fruit. When she went to put the fruit in the basket, she saw the basket was filled with jewels. She just dumped the jewels aside and filled her basket with fruit and ran back to Gokul and cried out, Gopal, Gopal, I've brought you more fruit. And Gopal came and smiled upon her. That smile is the ultimate wealth. Prem Nidhi, the ultimate treasure, is when Krishna smiles upon us. Sam siddhyat hari toshinam, when Krishna's pleased. Because that's what prema is, to please Krishna. And Krishna's only pleased by our love. Krishna wanted to share the love of this simple lady with all of the Brijavasis. Because these fruits are the personification of the simple lady's love. And Krishna told Yashoda Mai that, I have all these fruits, let's distribute it to all our relatives and friends. She said, where did you get these fruits? He said, there was a simple lady that was selling them, and I bought them.
said that she's a stranger. You don't even know who she is. You can't trust any. You can't just trust everyone like you trust your own relatives. And Krishna smiled. He said, I don't know what it means to not trust somebody. Let's distribute these fruits. So just to please Krishna, Yashoda Mai was giving fruits, and Krishna was handing the fruits to her, and she was handing for days and days and days, thousands and thousands and thousands of fruits she was giving to everyone. There was no end. Krishna loves to distribute the love of his devotees. Mad bhakta pujapyadika. What is real wealth? In Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, during the Mahaprakash Lila, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fulfilling all the desires of his devotees. Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He's Krishna with the sentiments and complexions of Sri Radha, but in the role of a devotee. And only on the rarest occasions did he actually reveal his supremacy. And during these 21 hours of ecstasy, he sat on the throne of Vishnu and manifested whatever particular incarnation each devotee worshipped. To Murari Gupta, he became Ram. As he was sitting, he told the devotees, bring Sridhar. Sridhar was also a fruit seller. He was also very simple and very poor. And when Nimai was younger, before he began the Sankirtan movement, formally, nobody knew who he really was. Every day, he would go to Kolavecha Sridhar and bargain for bananas and banana leaves and banana roots and banana bark. Sridhar was so honest, like Yudhisthira. He would charge the least possible amount to each of his customers. And half of whatever little he earned, he would worship Mother Ganga. Because Mother Ganga is descending from Krishna's lotus feet to spread grace throughout the world. He was so poor. Nobody even knew his name. They just called him Kolavecha, banana seller. Nimai would ask, how much is banana? He would give a fair price. Nimai would say, I will give you half. He'd say, half? How will I survive? Nimai said, then I will take it for nothing. And Sridhar would hold on to it, and Nimai, and they would be pulling and pulling, and Nimai would say, I'm a Brahmin. You worship Mother Ganga? Don't you know that I am the source of Mother Ganga? She is my devotee. And Sridhar would block his ears and say, you are so restless. How can you say like this? And Sridhar would always give the bananas and the leaves to Nimai for either half the price or mostly for free. Every day, Nimai would argue the price of bananas with Sridhar for 2 hours. This was his regular life. And Sridhar would sit on the ground with his little cloth and whatever few bananas and leaves he had, and he would just be looking down the road, waiting for Nimai. And if Nimai was late, his heart would be beating and beating with ecstatic love and separation. Where is Nimai? Where is Nimai? He loved Nimai more than he loved his own Krishna, but he didn't know he was Krishna. Once Nimai said to him, "Why do you worship Krishna? What is he doing for you? Look around. Those who are atheists and those who worship devas for material purposes, they have nice houses, they have nice clothes, they have good food. Your house is a simple one-room shack made out of straw with a leaky roof. You have no furniture. Your clothes are just one set of rags. You don't even have money for a needle and thread. Whenever there's a hole, you just tie a knot, the two sides, and I see at least 12 knots. And your body is emaciated thin because of lack of food. And yet all night long, you just chant loudly Krishna's names." And the people around, they would become very disturbed. He was keeping them up with the chanting. They would throw a vegetable at him and say, "Shut up. He's just screaming because of hunger." But Sridhar would be so happy. His wealth was in loving devotional service and complete attachment to the chanting of the holy names. Nimai said, "Actually, you are a very wealthy person with a great treasure. And someday I am going to expose you. You are cheating everyone by pretending to be such a poor man." Sridhar said, "Whatever you see is what I am. Why are you talking like this?" So when Sridhar was brought before the throne of Vishnu at the house of Srivas, Nimai revealed a beautiful form to Sridhar. He said, "Sridhar, just see." He saw the form of Krishna with the complexion of a tamal tree, the beautiful peacock feather in his hair, hair that was curling beautifully around his moon-like face, his lotus-like eyes, his nose like a sesame flower, his lips like red like the bimba fruit. He was standing in a threefold bending form. His dhoti like lightning was illuminating all directions. There was a garland of Vajayanti mala that was reaching below his knees. There was beautiful ornaments and a garland of beautiful flowers of Sri Braj Bhumi. And beside him was Lord Balaram, standing with a complexion like a white spring cloud. And around Krishna and Balaram in the beautiful land of Vrindavan, he saw Brahma and Shiva offering prayers, Ananta Shesha making an umbrella behind the Lord. He saw Narada Muni, the four Kumaras, and Sukadev Goswami humbly bowing down and praying. He saw limitless, beautiful, beautiful divine gopis and ladies offering prayers to the Lord. Sridhar fell unconscious. And the Lord spoke his name. "Sridhar, ask for any benediction. I will fulfill your desire." Sridhar said, "My Lord, I only want to be the servant of your servant and always remember you. I do not want anything." The Lord said, "But I want to give you something. I will give you palaces, land, a kingdom like Indra. Ask." Sridhar, who was living in total poverty materially, he said, "I don't want any of those things. I will give you the 8 mystic cities. You will be able to perform incredible miracles to fulfill all your desires. Ask." Sridhar said, "These yogic cities will simply be a disturbance and a distraction to my mind. I will give you liberation from suffering, elevation to the spiritual world. Ask." He said, "My Lord, don't tempt me like this. I don't want anything. I only want to please you." Lord Chaitanya said, "It will please me if you ask for a benediction. Ask." He said, "If I must ask for something, then just give me this one thing. Let the beautiful vision of that little child, Nimai, coming to steal my bananas be forever within my heart. Just come and steal my bananas and let me always remember you in this way." When he spoke like that, all the devotees began to cry. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself began to cry. He said, "Sridhar, offer prayers to me." Sridhar said, "I'm not very literate. I don't know how to offer prayers." He said, "Just speak what's in your heart." And as soon as he opened his mouth, Nimai sent Gata Saraswati on his tongue. And I'm going to end in a couple minutes, so I'm going to be real brief. He said, "Pure devotional service is forever within your heart. You are the Lord of Vrindavan, the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Lord of Goloka Vrindavan, and you have descended into Navadvip to spread that pure devotional service to everyone. And I am so foolish. I didn't even recognize you. But you have come to show how you are controlled by the love of your devotee." Bhishma defeated you and caused you to break your own promise because of his devotion. Yashoda Mai, she bound you by a rope, controlling you with the rope of her love. Satyabhama Devi, by her devotion, she had you doing everything she wanted you to do. And in Vrindavan, the cowherd boys like Sri Dama, they defeat you in their games. And just to show the whole world forever that you have been defeated, you carry your friends on your shoulders. This is the most intimate truth of all the knowledge of all the Vedas and all the scriptures. That the supreme controller of all controllers, Sarveshwareshwaram, is controlled by the simple, pure love of his devotee. Sridhar only wanted to be the servant of the servant of the servant of those who have that love. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, I give you this benediction of ecstatic love for me forever. And sometime later, when there was that glorious Harinam Sankirtan procession with hundreds and thousands of people to the house of Chankazi, and he surrendered to Lord Chaitanya, was the ultimate victory of all victories. How did Lord Chaitanya celebrate? He went to Simantadvipa, to the little grass hut of Kulaveta Sridhar, and he saw an old, dented iron pot sitting outside of his water, of his house. That pot is just filled with some water that Sridhar used for the most menial purposes. He drank from it, he cleaned with it. Vrindavan Das Thakur says that even the most desperate thief would not even place his glance on that worthless pot. But Lord Chaitanya saw it the most precious treasure in all of creation. He went right up to that pot and began to drink the water from it. And as he was drinking, Sridhar saw this. He said, now I am dead. I've drunk from that pot. I've cleaned myself with that pot. Don't drink it. And Lord Chaitanya was drinking and drinking. And as he was drinking, tears were pouring from his eyes. And he said, I have not tasted true ecstatic love for Krishna until today when I drank the water from Sridhar's pot. Lord Chaitanya revealed the true wealth, the real treasure. Money, fame, prestige, knowledge, followers. None of this can satisfy the heart. Only humility and true devotion to Krishna. Only love, love for God, can satisfy the heart. Because patram pushpam palam toyam, only that love can satisfy Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself identified himself as a fruit seller. When he was in Varanasi, he said, I have all these fruits, the fruits of prema bhakti, love for Krishna. And I will distribute them freely. But I have so many fruits and I only have two hands. How many can I distribute? Whoever is my devotee, help me distribute these fruits of love of God by spreading the glories of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya literally was begging us to take the fruits of love of God and begging us to help distribute these fruits of love of God. At Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan, at the Samadhi Mandir and Bhajan Kutir of Sri Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Srila Prabhupada was preparing himself to distribute these fruits of love of God. Lord Chaitanya told that pilgrim Brahmaj, the Sankirtan movement will spread to every country of the world. Srila Prabhupada, 50 years ago this year, departed from Vrindavan Dham to fulfill that prophecy that was over 500 years when it was spoken. On the order of his guru, with the grace of the whole parampara and the mercy of Rupa Goswami, he traveled to all the countries practically of the world, directly and indirectly. He traveled around the world 12 times. And he made his international headquarters in Sri Mayapur Dham, the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the Sankirtan movement. And one of the deepest desires that Srila Prabhupada had, Prabhupada's desires were Lord Chaitanya's desires, Lord Nityananda Prabhu's desires, all our previous acharyas' desires, and especially desire of his own Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. What was a simple little rice paddy has now become the most glorious place of pilgrimage. Prabhupada started in Mayapur with a little straw hut like Kolavecha Sridhar. And now tens and millions of people are coming there every year. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to build a temple in Mayapur, the temple of the Vedic planetarium, as his offering to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to his Guru Maharaj, a temple that would attract people from all over India and from all over the world to come and recognize the true wealth of prema bhakti that Lord Chaitanya came to give. And Srila Prabhupada, he begged us to help him spread this love of Krishna throughout the world. And truly, one of his greatest wishes was this temple to be built. He personally requested Ambarish Prabhu, help me build this temple. And Ambarish Prabhu gave about $20 million to begin it. But you see, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna doesn't want it just to be done by one or two people. We all have the opportunity to participate. Every single one of us, whether we're Hanuman or a little squirrel or spider, whether we're giving millions of dollars or a few paisa, according to our means, we could participate. And that's beautiful. Now, in our temple of Radha Gopinath and in our yatras, we have a rule that we don't do any fundraising. But because this project is so dear to Srila Prabhupada and so important to the world, Nityananda Prabhu could foresee this temple coming up. So we are willing to break our rules for this higher purpose. And today we have Radha Jivan Prabhu and Braj Vilas Prabhu, who are traveling around the world with Lord Nityananda Prabhu's padukas, his holy shoes from the Panchatattva in Mayapur. They're coming as beggars, begging for us to receive mercy, the mercy of participating in whatever way we can. So with these words, we would like to invite Radha Jivan Prabhu and Braj Vilas Prabhu to come and tell us about the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, and to tell us how each and every one of us, we can help. And my humble request is for the glory of your own soul
for the glory of Srila Prabhupada's dream, and for the glory of the whole world, let us try to help whatever way we can and spread the chanting of the holy name. Please chant 10 million times louder. Today is Diwali, the day of Damodar Lila. After this wonderful, exciting, soul-stirring presentation of the temple of Vedic Planetarium, we will together sing Damodarastakam. Thank you very much.